You're listening to Rhema for Today.
Satan wants the young to despise the old, and he wants the old to despise the young. But God wants us to recognize the value of the entire body of Christ. To see the significance and the potential contribution that every member has.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth Hagin continues his teaching, Ages, Stages, and Generations, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth Hagin for today's message.
Now we go to the baby boomers. The baby boomers were born between 1946 and 1964 and comprise about 80 million of the nation's employees. The baby boomers respond to symbols of recognition such as titles, money, other status symbols, or indications of peer recognition. They tend to be extremely competitive, a likely result of their vast number. They value individual choice, community involvement, prosperity, ownership, as well as health and wellness. Now, the baby boomer generation witnessed and participated in some of the greatest social changes that this country has ever had. In the 60s and 70s, with the civil rights movement, the women's movement, this generation experienced dramatic shifts in educational, economic, and social opportunities. Now, this should be placing you. Although this comes from a business research, it's also true. These same tendencies are, if they are the part of the people, then those same people that come into the church, we have the same thing in the church. Am I right? All right. But this is important. I wouldn't be doing this if I don't feel that this is vitally important. And I'm doing this because of reading all of the leadership magazines and the magazines that are coming out for ministers and the changes and what they're seeing in the church world today. And I'm doing this because this is going to mean whether we go up and forward or plateau out and go down. And it's not up to me. It's up to all of us working together. Now, the last one is the traditionalists. The traditionalists are veterans, were born between 1900 and 1945. That's me. They comprise approximately 75 million. They are loyal, of the workforce, that is. They are loyal and often have worked for only one employer for their entire lifetime. And I'm loyal sometimes to staff and people that work for me to my own hurt, but that's just the way we work. Many of them have military backgrounds and are comfortable in top-down management style and may be motivated by recognition of job well done. They exhibit a strong work ethic shaped by the Great Depression and an onward-upward attitude. They're likely to struggle with issues such as absenteeism because you don't feel good, or lifestyle issues that are affected by smoking and drinking and all that kind of stuff. They're not very tolerant of that kind of stuff. It's important that this generation not be undervalued as they continue to bring logic, attention to detail, and historical knowledge. Satan wants to divide the generations. He'd like for each generation to be at odds with each other, so we cannot benefit from what each generation has to offer. We need the energy and idealism of the younger generations. But we also need the wisdom and the experience of us that have been down the road. and back a couple of times. Satan wants the young to despise the old, and he wants the old to despise the young. But God wants us to recognize the value of the entire body of Christ. To see the significance and the potential contribution that every member has. So many times in the church, you'll hear the old people, "Well, I don't like that music. I want to go back and sing the hymns." And if you sing a hymn, you hear the younger generation, "Well, what do they think they're doing? Going back to the 30s? Don't like that. Younger generation likes a lot of guitars and noise. The older generation wants a quiet organ playing. So you can sleep and not be disturbed. Let me tell you this. We're going to have it all. We're going to learn to work together. We're going to learn to be a cohesive unit. We need to realize that a person's age is not as important as the quality that can come from that person. Now listen to this. Mozart was giving piano concerts across Europe at age 6. At age 7, Helen Keller was blind and deaf, but she mastered a vocabulary of 625 words. At age 10, Thomas Edison set up a laboratory in his own basement. Louis Braille, at age 15, began devising a system of raised point writing for the blind to read and write. David assumed the kingship, being anointed king of Israel about when he was about 15. Einstein wrote his first documents about the theory of relativity when he was 16. Joan of Arc led 3,000 French soldiers to victory in Orleans when she was 17. At age 19, Bill Gates co-founded Microsoft. At 24, William Pitt II became the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Samuel was one of the greatest prophets that the Old Testament had, and he ministered, it says in 1 Samuel 3:1, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest." Jeremiah thought he was too young to be called, and he said, "Oh Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a youth." Psalms 144:12 says, "That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may become cornerstone polished after the similitude of a palace." Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth." Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise your youth." He again talked to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who called on the Lord out of a pure heart." The Message Bible says it this way: run away from infantile indulgences. Run after mature righteousness, faith, love, peace, joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. Now, I talked about the young people. Now, I'm going to go the other end of the spectrum. At age 59, Clara Barton founded the American Red Cross. At age 65, Colonel Harland Sanders drove around the country looking for a place to lassen his finger-looking-good chicken recipe and started and built the Kentucky Fried Chicken Empire. At age 65, Winston Churchill became Prime Minister of Great Britain. Golda Meir was 71 when she became Prime Minister of Israel. Michelangelo designed the dome of St. Peter's Basilica when he was 72. Ronald Reagan was reelected president of the United States when he was 72. At age 75, John Glenn returned to outer space after being one of the second or third man to go into space. At age 79, Big Ben Franklin invented the bifocals. At age 80, George Burns, who had been on the stage since he was a very young man, received his first Academy Award at 80. At 81, Benjamin Franklin was the one that engineered the acceptance of the U.S. Constitution by his diplomacy with all of the delegates that was at the Constitutional Convention. John Wesley became annoyed when at age 83, he could not write more than 15 hours a day without hurting his eyes hurting. At 86, he was ashamed he could not preach more than twice a day. And in his diary, he complained there was an increasing tendency to lie in bed and sleep until 5:30 in the morning. At age 89, Arthur Rubinstein gave one of his greatest concerts in New York's Carnegie Hall, New York City's Carnegie Hall. Michelangelo was still composing poetry and designing structures in his 89th year. He painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel on his back on a scaffold when he was near 90. Oliver Wendell Holmes, the Supreme Court Justice that retired at 91, said this, get it, men do not quit playing because they grow old. They grow old because they quit playing.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth Hagin's book, How to Fulfill Your Divine Destiny. Next is Lynette Hagin's book entitled Along the Way, Building a Legacy That Changes Lives. Last but not least is Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Anchor Moments. All these items are for the special price of only $26. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. Rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
And this week, also Living Faith Conference.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Sunday through Tuesday. We're going to be in Spokane, Washington, Spokane Christian Center with Pastors Rick and Linda Sharkey. That's on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And then where are we going?
Well, we're going to drop down to Meridian, Idaho, which is just a part of Boise, Idaho.
Yes, it is.
At Life Church there. May 6th through the 8th, Wednesday through Friday,
yes.
Pastors Mark and Amy Bohr.
Yes.
Now, if you want to learn anything about our Living Faith conferences, you go to rhema.org/LFC, and the service times are there. The schedule's there for the whole year of 26.
It's right
there. You can find it. But I'd like to invite any of you that are in those areas to come out and see us. Come up to the front, because we don't run. We stay around the front. We're glad to talk to you.
Yes.
So we'll be looking for you.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth Hagin with his teaching, Ages, Stages, and Generations. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore and also purchase other faith-building teachings. That's at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.